we announce an important change of program time for Friday night when the Philip Morris Show with Johnny Green and his orchestra will be heard at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time instead of 8:30. Friday night, Philip Morris at 9 Eastern Daylight Saving Time instead of 8:30.
Tonight, the Columbia Workshop presents the fourth specially commissioned work for the current Workshop Festival series. It is an extravaganza by the firmest British dramatist, Lord Dunsany, and is called The Use of Man. Earl McGill is the director. Laid at Boughton Grange in the middle of the hunting season. Lord Dorse and his guests are at dinner.
I think we changed.
We never changed.
I think we did.
Where?
A Todd Hunter's gorse.
We never went into it.
No, but hounds ran within 200 yards of it. That's near enough.
I don't believe it.
Well, even if we did, it was a perfectly glorious hunt.
It would have been. Would have been if that blasted earth hadn't been open. I never think a run to ground can come up to one that ends with a kill in the open, even if that run is a mile or two shorter.
But why was it open? That's what we want to know.
Badgers.
I'd kill every badger in the whole county. Every badger from here to the Oozle.
We are going to.
I wouldn't leave one alive.
We shan't.
That's right, Master.
I've sent for my two terriers from the kennels. Young Dick here has his two.
Brother.
And we're going to Grimley Wood tomorrow at 8. We'll draw one badger before 11.
Oh. Change the meet to 11:30, Master. It'll give us more time to get that badger.
Oh, we'll get him all right without that. But if it takes us longer than we think, we needn't move out till, say, 11:15. But we'll get him.
Hooray!
Oh, yes, don't you worry.
If Bob gets a chance, he'll just freeze onto him. Bob, badger, badger, badger.
Dick, a little quiet, please.
It isn't my fault, Father. I can't stop him. He's always like this when he hears a badger. Aren't you, Bob?
We'll ask him to keep that noise till tomorrow morning.
All right, sir. Bob, not till tomorrow. Not till tomorrow, Bob.
Oh, do spare the badgers, Mr. Pelby.
Spare the badgers?
Yes, do.
But we can't spare the badgers.
Why can't you?
Well, one never does.
Well, why not?
Well, what good are they?
What good are they?
Yes.
Well, I don't suppose they're any good.
Well, if a thing's no good, it doesn't seem to me that it has any right to exist.
Well, I suppose badgers think they're some good.
Yes, I've no doubt they do, the silly beasts. They would. But I don't know who else would speak for them.
Well, I would, for one.
Well, if you can tell me any good they do, Diana, I'll call off the expedition tomorrow morning and spare the whole lot of them.
Thanks so much. I think it's hard they should all be wiped out just because they opened Fox's Earth. I'm afraid I can't think what good they do. Well, won't somebody speak up for badgers? They must do some good. It'll do if someone else speaks for them, won't it?
Oh, yes. If anyone can tell me what good they do.
Oh, someone speak up for badgers. Here, you, Mr. Williamson. I know you're very clever. I'm sure you must know what good badgers are.
Well, I really... Badgers! I'm afraid I don't know quite enough about badgers.
Well, if they're no good, one doesn't quite see what right they have to live.
Oh, do tell him, somebody, what good badgers are.
You know, I don't like to tell you, Diana, but badgers are a wretched nuisance.
Well, of course they are.
They'd open every earth in the country if we didn't keep them down. It'd be no use stopping.
None whatever.
Anyway, they're no beastly use.
None at all.
At least I never heard they were.
No, thank you.
Well, in that case, Dick, we'll draw that fellow in Grimley Wood tomorrow.
Rather.
You know, when you come to think of it, there aren't very many animals that are any use.
No. There are horses, of course. Cows, pigs, poultry. Dogs go without saying.
Yes, but things like stags, for instance. I have a few in the park. Don't know what good they are.
Oh, I disagree with you there. Stag, a good Highland stag, is a lot of use. I don't know what a hall would be without one. A dozen good stag's heads and a lion skin on the floor, why, if you took them away from my hall, I'd feel it was only a barn.
Yes. Well, I'll admit the stag. But there are heaps of animals that are no use whatever. Bears, for instance. Couldn't find any use in a bear.
Oh, I don't know. He's a jolly beast in the zoo. He entertains lots of children.
Well, elephants, then.
I don't know about the African elephants, except that he gives us ivory. Well, that's pretty useful. But the Indian elephant's a lot of good. I think a great many animals have their uses.
Yes, the Indian elephant, we trained him. Of course, lots of animals are a great deal to us. It'd be no good but for our training. They'd be hard put to it to get food and lodging, too.
Well, what about a crow? They do no harm, but you can't say they're of any use.
A crow? No, I don't think one could.
I'm jolly sure you couldn't. What about mice?
No, they don't do much harm, provided you've plenty of cats to keep them down. But they're certainly no use.
And then rabbits.
Rabbits? Blast them, they're just an infernal nuisance. Rabbit holes all over the place. They can kill a horse, and a man for that matter. Wouldn't have a rabbit in the whole world if I could help it.
Bees, of course, is that good?
Yes. Yeah. I like honey.
I'll tell you one creature that's no good whatever, and no one can say he is.
What's that?
The mosquito.
Oh, the mosquito. I grant you that.
Can't think that what he was ever invented for.
No, I suppose there was some reason.
Can't think what it is.
No, nor can I.
Nor could anyone else. Well, I say, Dick, it's time you went to bed if you're getting up for that badger and hunting afterwards.
Oh, I say, Father, not yet.
Well, it's quite time. What do you think, Philby?
I was just thinking it was a very good idea, and for me too, if you'll excuse me. Late nights as well as early mornings don't go with fox hunting.
Of course not.
Man, I think I'll go now. Come on, Dick.
Hi, sir.
Good night, Philby.
Good night.
I say, Mr. Philby, shall I tell them to call you at 7:30?
Yes, that'll do.
And I'll have the car around at 8 o'clock with the dogs in it. Yours and mine.
All right, Dick.
All right. Good night, sir.
Good night.
That'll teach the blasted badger.
No, but really, really, I mean, what's the use of a badger?
What's the use of a badger? Oh.
Hello? Hello? What? A ghost, by gad.
That is so.
But what do you want?
Follow.
Follow? But where?
Follow.
What? Dress like this?
Follow.
I believe it's freezing out.
Follow.
We're going at an awful pace.
Follow.
Well, I can't help myself. What's the meaning of all this hurry? I say, we're leaving the earth behind.
Ah.
Good Lord. What are all those tinklings of light?
The asteroid.
Good Lord, they're small planets, aren't they? Look here, what I want to know is, where are you taking me to? I mean, if you're going to kill me, why did you say so? I've risked my neck often enough, only I want to know.
Follow.
Talkative. I say, what's that ugly thing there on our left that's droning at us?
The planet Neptune.
Oh, but we can't be as far as that. I say, it's stopped behind us. Why, there are no more planets. Gad, I believe I see land. I believe I do. It is, by Gad. But where?
A resting place and a meeting ground for spirits.
Well, there are plenty of them here.
Hail, spirit!
Well, we are here.
We are come.
Then, what do you want with me?
I have a question to put to you.
Put it.
What is the use of man?
What?
What is the use of man?
Well, really...
Your answer. Your answer before all these.
Well, really, I don't know that I ever considered it.
Your answer.
Well, there's no difficulty in it. Man civilizes. That is to say, he builds cities, he makes roads, he constructs harbors, he joins up one city with another by means of ships and trains and railroads.
That is only for man.
Well, for whom else?
What use is he?
I told you, he builds great cities.
Of what use is he to any other than man?
Well, I never gave that a thought. You see, I don't do a great deal of thinking. But perhaps some of these people do. The thing's perfectly obvious, even if I can't find words for it. Do you mind asking them?
Who will speak for man?
I will! Oh, I will!
Thanks. I expect you'll be able to put it better than I can.
Speak then. The use of man.
Oh!
He is man. That is enough. More is not needed. More could not be needed. All wisdom is in him. All his acts are just. Terrible sometimes, but always just. No use can be asked of him, only to be man. Man he is. He is man. The supreme perfection of which life is capable. Man. Man.
Man!
That is his view.
Will any other speak for man?
I say, you fellows, speak up for the lot of us. Words aren't in my line, you know, but speak up for us all.
They are not men.
Why? What are they?
The spirits of the others. The beasts, the birds, the insects, and the fishes. They're in human form so that you can perceive them. You would understand no other. But they are visible to you so that you are not judged in the darkness.
All a lot of animals?
Even so.
And you?
A spirit of air born of the morning, a messenger taking errands from orbit to orbit.
Well, some of them might speak up.
Let one of them tell the use of man. It will be enough.
He needs no use. He needs no use. He's mad.
Another must speak for you.
And if they won't? It'll be the end of me, I suppose.
The end of your whole race.
The whole race?
Why not, if they're no use?
And two must speak for me. One has already.
I speak for man. I speak for him. I speak for him.
Another must speak for you.
Do you know, I'm beginning to see who they are. The gentleman who's just spoken is... I feel sure he is.
The dog.
I thought so. I felt sure of it. And that gentleman in the black tail coat with his head a little on one side. Now he's put it over on the other. Do you know that I feel sure he's the crow?
He is.
Now, I should like to speak to him. I've done a good deal of speaking with farmers, and I think I could make him understand.
Speak.
Well, what I want to say to you, sir, is that man has cultivated an incalculable amount of land. That is to say, he has plowed it. We've not turned furrows purely and solely for our own advantage without giving any thought to others. We know perfectly well that the plow turns up good worms, which we've never grudged to our neighbors. This is one of the uses of man. We've done this for centuries. It's only today that one of us asks for any recognition on account of it. I am sure you, sir, will not mind voicing that recognition. Seems to be thinking pretty deeply, if putting his head on one side is any test.
Oh! They're good fellows. Good soft earth and full of worms.
But you'd never have got at them but for us.
They were good worms.
The very best.
And then there are guys.
Oh, we're an occasional farmer.
Gants!
Oh, no, not often. I never shot a... Well, I never did that sort of thing, you know. I don't think it's sporting. I only shoot...
I do not speak for men!
Well, then you, sir. Perhaps you'll speak for us. You'll excuse my asking who you are.
I am the bear.
Oh, well, I've known you quite a long time. I remember you when I was only a child in the zoo, you know. I used to throw buns at you. Well, you needn't like you look like that. Hang it all. I didn't throw them really at you. I don't suppose they hurt. Well, if you will take that line about it. If he won't speak for us, perhaps that gentleman will. That very tidy fellow over there, flicking the dust off the skirts of his coat. You see him? Dark hair with a good deal of gray in it. Who is he?
The badger.
Oh, well, perhaps another time. Well, that gentleman with a very high forehead, I think he'd understand me.
The African elephant?
You, sir, will, I think, recognize the greatness of man. He certainly always regarded you very highly. You will be able better than most to estimate what he stood for. The grandeur of his aims, the...
You only wanted my treasure.
I beg your pardon?
He was after my ivory. Man indeed.
Oh, well, excuse me. It was the Indian elephant that I really wished to speak to.
That is he, there, taking his hat off and bowing to you.
Oh, yes, the large gentleman in the frock coat. Very polite of him.
You wish to, sir, to do me the honor of addressing me?
If it's not troubling you.
It is an honor.
Very kind of you to say so. Well, sir, I think you appreciate the greatness of man.
I do.
Well, that's all right. Now, perhaps you'll say a few words on our behalf.
He took me from the wood. I have forgiven so great a wrong long, long ago, but he took me away from the wood.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry. I can't say any more. Spirit, I shall have to ask one of the others. I think I can make out a case, all right. I often had to do so before. You know, little difficulties with the farmers and the hunting of half a county to organize. Well, who are they all? I bet I know that sly fellow slinking about at the back. No, I'm not going to ask him, no. No, I hunted him all my life. And that fellow with the big gold watch chain and great yellow beard and long hair to match. I'm pretty sure he's the lion.
He is.
I don't think I'll ask him. Now that I look at his eyes, he seems to have a sense of injury. I dare say he may be right. But that lady who just arrived and ran so quickly to her place, who is she?
The mouse.
Well, I'll ask her. Oh, but then there's the cat. I can hardly ask them both. Where is the spirit of the cat?
Yonder.
Where you are pointing? I see. The comfortable lady. You know, I don't quite trust her.
As you please.
Then I'll ask the mouse. Neighbor, we've lived for a long while side by side. Will you not speak for us now? If our crumbs were good, there would be no wainscots but the man.
What of the traps of steel? The beautiful cheese that none could resist, and the cruel traps of steel? For man, I do not speak now.
Then you, madam, I address the spirit of the cat and with some confidence. I have only to remind you, I feel sure I need only mention deep rugs, soft carpet, cushions of silk and down, sofas, and above all our fires. Where would any of these be but for man? Where would comfort be? Where warmth? Did we not make all that is soft and dry, and for what purpose? For ourselves, I admit. But for ourselves alone? Never. Your people came along among our people by invitation and were content to come. They had perfect freedom to go, but they did not go. I come to this overwhelming point in my argument. You accepted us then. I ask you to accept us now. Really, I think I put that conclusively.
You asked the mouse first.
Oh, yes, I just asked her.
You asked her before me.
Well, you see, she caught my eye first.
She caught your eye before I did?
She just happened to.
She happened to. And before me?
Well, madam, I'm very sorry, but you'll speak for man, won't you?
Never.
We've done a lot for you. Won't you help us now?
Never. I've been treated as less than the mice.
But you wouldn't care, just because of my careless oversight, to see the human race destroyed?
Gladly.
Oh, dear, some spirits are very touchy. Do give me time, spirit. There are several that I can easily convince, but give me time.
You shall have time.
Thank you. There were a few points I wanted to think out. I wish to address the householders. You, ladies and gentlemen, a householder myself, I address myself particularly to those who, like myself, dwelt in houses. I appeal particularly to the horse, the cow, and the pig. And I wish to include the poultry and the bee and several others. It is to this class that I now appeal to speak up for one of its own members. You'll find that'll persuade them. Well, where are they all? Where is the horse?
That.
What? That silly fellow that always is surprised when anyone moves?
He.
Well, sir, you are counted as our oldest friend. Will you help us now for the sake of what we call auld lang syne? Well, of all the fools.
He's a fool! He's a fool! Shall I run after him?
No, 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 no. He's my respected friend.
He's a fool!
I often run after him, and he goes halfway around the planet.
No, no, no.
And he tries to kick me with both feet at once over there beyond Saturn. He's a fool.
Now, don't disparage my friend.
You will speak for us, sir. He's a fool.
Oh, be quiet. And where is the cow?
There.
There? Well, she's been staring at me all the time. Madam, you will perhaps speak for us. The question is, what use is man to others besides himself? The answer is, I think that he builds cow houses. Oh, she's staring at me still.
Let me chase her.
No, most certainly not.
She'll run away and stop staring.
Most certainly not.
She will.
Oh, to heel.
I beg your pardon, sir. I beg your pardon, master.
Say that.
Most certainly, sir.
If you won't speak for us, madam, then I must ask, which is the spirit of the pig?
He.
You don't mean the gentleman with the fierce moustaches, that smart-looking fellow?
That is he.
Shouldn't have thought it. Well, sir, I appeal to you once more as a householder. I live in a house myself, and I know what it is when a north wind is blowing to have the shelter of good walls.
I love the north wind.
But in winter, there's often snow in it.
I love snow. I love storms. I love to protect myself in the oak woods against the might of the winter. I need houses.
We did what we could to make you comfortable. Of course, if you don't like comfort...
We have no need of it. And no need of man.
I see. Then you will not speak for
us. May I, master?
Certainly not. And be quiet.
Most certainly, sir. No other speaks for you?
I beg your pardon. That's not so at all. I've scarcely explained anything yet. They'll understand as soon as I make it clear to them. I've not done with the householders yet. We householders usually stick together. We look at things in rather a different way from people do who roam the sky by night past half a dozen planets. There's the bee, for instance. I haven't spoke to him yet. Where is the bee? What? There? The gentleman in the gold trousers? Well, sir, we not only made houses for you, but you sometimes used to live in the roofs of ours. I think you liked our garden. And I fancy you had no enmity for us as we had none for you. Am I right, sir?
We like your houses. But somebody took our treasure.
It wasn't me. You can't blame the bear.
I don't know who it was. I was too busy to guard it. But I speak for no one, for fear he took the treasure.
You will not speak for us?
I speak for no one. The treasure, the inestimable treasure.
Then the poultry. Will the spirit of the poultry speak for us?
I am the...
Oh, how do you do? I think you like the houses that we build for you.
But we like better the deeps of the jungle.
Have you any more to ask before the end?
I can't think of any more just at the moment. But that's only because I have a bad memory. That gentleman there, who is that very, well, the only word is aristocratic. That very aristocratic-looking gentleman over there, holding his head up.
That is the spirit of the stag.
Oh, the stag. I always loved a fine stag. I often went to Scotland. They're really magnificent. The royal stag is superb. I once got... never mind. No, sir. I will not trouble you.
I give you 3 minutes more.
No good. I can't think of any more points to make. I've been up most of the night and I can't think out any more of them.
I give you 3 minutes more.
I say, a lot of them are going. They're soaring away. Why are they singing as they go?
It is the birds rejoicing at the ending of man.
Oh, look here. We weren't as bad as all that. Wait a minute, you spirit. Excuse me. But what about our garden? What about our black currants, raspberries, and strawberries? What about our green peas? Who planted them and looked after them? Where would strawberries have been but for man? Big garden strawberries, I mean. Not these miserable little wild ones. And the birds got just as many as we did. Man seems to me to have been a good deal of use in the world. If you know where to get good strawberries without him, that's another matter. If not, you might admit it.
Oh,
the end of us.
Never, never, never!
Everything is for man. He is man. No more is needed. Man,
man, man!
The world and the stars are for him. He does not need to be useful. All things must be useful to him. It's all for man.
Does any other speak for man? The 3 minutes are ended.
Wait a moment. Who's that coming? Far off over there. He's lighted on a pinnacle of mist. He's lifting his trumpet.
I'm very much obliged to you. We're all very much obliged to you. On behalf of the great human race, I'm very much obliged to you indeed, an intelligent spirit at last. May I ask who you are, sir?
I am the mosquito.
The mosquito?
What use is man? Tell this assembly.
I speak for man. I, the mosquito. Man is my food.
The whole thing slid away. It's night again. Where are we going? Why, there's Neptune again. Why don't we see Jupiter? It's large enough, isn't it?
He's far off to the north of the sun.
What's that going by laughing?
Comet.
Hello, the asteroids again. Oughtn't we to see Mars?
He's at the far end of his orbit on the other side of the sun.
Good of the mosquito to speak for us. Nasty little beast. What's that song?
It's Earth singing.
Why?
She's always doing it.
Why, so it is. It's all shining dimly. Why, it's underneath us now.
Well, I'm much obliged to you for speaking up for us. But, oh, don't go on trumpeting.
I told you to keep quiet.
Mr. Bilby? Mr. Bilby, I say, aren't you coming? Wake up, Mr. Philby, wake up.
Coming? Where?
To dig out that badger.
Oh, of course, Dick. Well, you know, I had rather a long day yesterday.
Oh, but you don't mind a long day.
No, not in the ordinary way. But I've been thinking that after all, we might leave that badger alone.
Leave him alone?
Well, that's what I thought.
But whatever for?
Well, you see, it occurred to me that there might, after all, be some use in a badger. And the silly little devil might not be able to prove it.
I've been listening to the CBS presentation of Lord Dunsany's play, The Use of Man, a specially commissioned work for the current Columbia Workshop Festival. Earl McGill directed, and Bernard Herrmann composed and conducted the musical score. Horace Braham played the part of Mr. Pelby. The other characters were played by Junius Matthews, George Calouris, Eustace Wyatt, Reginald Bach, Ian Martin, John Clark, Eric Rolfe, Edgar Barrier, Naomi Campbell, and Florence Robinson. Next week at the same time, the Columbia Workshop Festival will bring you the fifth and final specially commissioned work, Now It's Summer, by Arthur Culver, who will be remembered for his outstanding Broadway success, Having a Wonderful Time. It might interest you to know that on September 28th, the final program in the Columbia Workshop Festival series, we will present Archibald MacLeish's Fall of the City. The book, Columbia Workshop Plays, published by Whittlesey House, and which contains a number of the plays you have heard on the workshop over the past several weeks, is now on sale at your local bookstore. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.